Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/westwoodone.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
All right, ladies and gents, welcome back to Zero Dark Nerdy, the world's most notorious pop culture podcast. We have the one, the only, the president of Mad Solar Studios and Entertainment, Karina Manischel, in the building with us today. Karina, how are you doing this afternoon?
So awesome. We're here to talk about everything I love. So this is a great day. This is as good as they've got.
Exactly. For our fans out there, if you haven't checked out the first episode with Karina, be sure to check that out. We ended up, before we got into the actual episode, we were talking about our love for anime, manga, and all things. And I was like, well, you got to come back to just do an episode on all these things that you love. And I mean, just seeing it on your face right now, I see how excited you are. So, you know, just kind of starting off too, a lot of people may not realize this, but manga is really the graphic novel, like comic book version. And then anime is the animated version. So with that being said, which one did you get into first? Was it manga first or anime?
No, I was anime first. So my love of anime started very much thanks to Toonami. So my sister's a year and a half older, and we were watching Toonami every night. And that got us into Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z, into Cowboy Bebop. I just remember Big O, Lupin the Third. We were playing the Lupin the Third video game. There was so much that we were watching. Eventually, Attack on Titan and all of those things also started in Toonami. And then Attack on Titan is my favorite piece of content, I think, ever. And I'm comparing it to movies, books, like Attack on Titan is my like messiah. That is the best thing that I've experienced. But yeah, we started in those early days with Toonami, and I remember vividly because it wasn't something that you would talk about. We were like together loving Dragon Ball Z, but it was never something that you would bring up in school. And I distinctly remember the moment we went over to our cousin's house, who's right in between us, 9 months younger, 9 months older. He's like our brother, really. And he played this video on YouTube, because it was right around the time like YouTube montage compilation videos were the thing. And you probably even know the one, but it was the Dragon Ball Z Linkin Park in the end video. Puts it up. And it's like, oh, isn't this song really cool? But it's Dragon Ball Z. And we're all just kind of like sitting there like, is he meaning to come out as a Dragon Ball Z fan? Does he know? Or is he just really just trying to play Linkin Park? And Tatiana looked at each other and was like, Goku and Vegeta? And he just goes, Goku and Vegeta. And it was our way of embracing that this thing is bigger than just our household.
Right. Because, I mean, I didn't realize how big it was until I actually started going to cons and conventions. Yeah. Just how massive it is. And then over the years, I mentioned this in our first episode, how I got introduced to it was 1993 Ninja Scroll. And it was just mind-blowing, just the visuals, the effects, the storyline. I came up and grew up in Kung Fu flicks with my dad. So seeing it in an animated version like that, and especially this one, because it follows Jubei going up against like the eight devils of Kiman, and it's just super, super intense. And then after that, I felt like it was, you know, besides Akira and some of the old school ones, we didn't have a lot as far as, you know, I'm dating myself here. I'm 43 years old. Didn't have a ton until Dragon Ball came out. And then I think that really just helped expose the world to everything else anime.
Yeah, it was interesting too, because obviously the kind of parallel Shogun protagonists to Goku were Naruto and Naruto and Luffy in One Piece, but I didn't experience those until kind of like my resurgence love of anime. So Naruto was something that actually got me completely and totally into, you know, reminding me of all that I loved and brought me back. So watching Naruto into Naruto Shippuden straight. And then when I had my second kid was the moment my sister said, you have to start One Piece. I'm like, Tots, it's 1,000 episodes. She's like, no, you have to start to finish. You have a baby. You're going to be up nursing anyway. What else are you doing? And now I'm caught up on One Piece, both manga and anime. And it truly is, you know, generationally probably the most interesting type of programming and something that just sticks with you forever. It's beautiful.
Yeah. Beautiful. Agreed. And, you know, as I was a dad in my younger stage, and again, we talked about this in the last episode just for a little bit before, you know, we started talking about everything else. it was definitely Avatar, The Last Airbender, yeah. Which was the first American anime. So let me ask, have you watched any of the Avatar Netflix, like live action show?
Truthfully, no. I struggle. I'll be honest. It's really interesting. Since I researched anime, manga, and all of this sort of, you know, kind of like heart opening. I've struggled with live action anything. I feel like it was funny. I was talking to a creator friend of mine and I was expressing to him Attack on Titan specifically and talking through all of the beats of that story, how significant the shift was in season 4 from Wit Studio to MAPPA and why it was indicative of the storytelling for a complete kind of like psychological shift in what the narrative was to then also create a visual shift in the language that they were delivering it in. And as I was explaining all of this, he's like, yeah, you know, I just sort of struggle to like feel the emotional capacity of an animated character. I'm like, God, it's so funny because I struggle to feel the emotional capacity of a real character. Like at this point, this is almost like how I view, I don't know, like an aspirational, influential sense of my own experience. I find it more in these characters than I do in a live action sense.
Yeah, agreed. And it depends on that live action factor to it. So, I mean, while we're on the subject, let's start with this. Which ones are your favorite, like, that went from manga to anime? And let's just start there.
So, I would say that my manga experience My manga experience went backwards a little bit. So I first started reading manga. The first one I read was once One Piece in the anime had finished the Wano arc, I wanted to read the manga and no more spoilers. I wanted to be caught up. So I binged One Piece and now I'm reading that weekly, which is probably the highlight of my week, is that I've got a group of people that we like text the manga out. We all go read it. Check mark when we've read it, and then we get a connect on it, which is really, really fun and really cool. But so that was my first. And the second was Jujutsu Kaisen for a similar reason, because I didn't want to know what's going to happen. I don't even want to make a spoiler on this, a manga spoiler. I don't want to be like Usher, I'm not going to do it in this platform. It's not fair, but I didn't want circumstances to be spoiled that are, you know, come later. So I caught up on Jujutsu Kaisen. And then from there, I started reading things start to finish. So Berserk was the next one that I read, which absolutely blew my mind. I could not believe how utterly breathtaking the visuals were. It was honestly, it was just like, it was such a sensational storytelling experience, but also such a sensational visual to literature experience. I'd never seen anything quite so beautiful. And after that, I did some kind of like going back. So I read Death Note next, having seen the show and loved it. It was one of like kind of like the new age that I was utterly obsessed with, but I'd forgotten some of the key beats. So there was a lot of exploration that happened in that dive. Then I did Attack on Titan for a similar reason. AOT finished. I was like, okay, now I'm going to did it backwards. Now I'm going to read the whole manga and experience it through this lens. And what was really beautiful to see was how married the two pieces of art felt for me. It felt like a very complimentary experience to then read it and also again relive all of the thoughts that he had from the very beginning into where it would end. And finally, actually yesterday, I just finished Vagabond start to finish, which was a very similar to Berserk experience for me because it wasn't an anime that I'd experienced. Visually is truly some of the most beautiful pieces of art I'd ever seen. I'd say that that manga I screenshotted more than any I've read, where there were beats in there that were so affecting of ways to kind of experience humanity, consideration for others, what does it mean to be strong? Like there were things that I felt were so applicable to my daily life in a kind of wandering samurai story, which is really interesting to see kind of that bridge that in a way was able to create with that. So yeah, my manga journey has been very mixed. It's been new experiences. It's been comparative experiences to shows that I've known or ways to relive pieces of content that I've loved. And now it's kind of like the continuing story experience with something like One Piece or Jujutsu Kaisen.
Gotcha. So, I mean, speaking of One Piece, the live action came out.
Yeah.
So watching that. What are your thoughts on that?
You know what? I think what was so beautiful about the live action, firstly, I'll say when I heard Netflix was going to do One Piece, I'm like, all the properties in all the world are getting One Piece, which is, again, over 1,000, you know, episodes slash chapters. I mean, it's immense. Also, the powers are so like rubber men and like shark people. Yeah. And it gets bigger and bigger the further the show goes up. There's like, I wish there was like a count on how many characters there are. And how specific and visual and caricature that Oda is able to create. So when I heard that they were doing One Piece, I'm like, you guys are like, what are you? It's just because it's One Piece, really? Yeah. Like, are you really? But then I think what really turned the emotional feeling toward it was when Oda put out a letter to his fans of how involved he was and how much it meant to him. And like, this felt like a true secondary experience within the structure of what Oda's built for him. And I swear to you, that was like a turning point for like true One Piece fans, because it told us that the mangaka is a part of this in a way that matters. Right. So I feel like One Piece became felt like a new entry point. And I think it is wonderful to consider that there are ways into a show that, or kind of a piece of content that the buy-in is so hard in the sense, if you're just going to do manga or anime as is, it's a lot of time that you're going to have to donate. Sure. But this other sort of experience gives you an entry point that is less time consuming. So it can create a new One Piece fan, which I think is wonderful.
So with a couple kids yourself, is there anything you've introduced them to in terms of anime and manga? No,
funny enough, I'm leaving for Japan with my daughter who's 4.5 on Friday.
Okay.
And what's been really cool is that she's fallen in love with a lot of the stuff that I used to love. And obviously it makes sense that, you know, Pokemon, I'm like, oh, let's show her Pokemon and let's start with Indigo League before we start, you know, graduating to what modern Pokemon feels like. And she loved that. And then I put on Sailor Moon for her. And right now she's completely obsessed with Sailor Moon. Studio Ghibli, she loves. Interestingly, Inuyasha, I didn't even put on for her, but she found it and she's obsessed with Inuyasha. We're playing the Final Fantasy games together. So right now we're playing Rebirth, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. But before that, I pulled out my Switch to get her Pokemon Snap. And I got like really interested in replaying Final Fantasy VIII, which is one of my favorite games. And she just loved the story. We would sit next to each other. She can't read yet. I'm reading her the lines of dialogue because obviously it's old school PlayStation, nobody's speaking, but the relationship between Squall and Rinoa and their love story was something she was so connected to. So it's very exciting because we're entering this trip to Japan and there's just a lot that she loves, like a lot of the properties she already really cares about. And what's cool too is that I recognize that there's some repetition amongst different people at her school. Pokemon's obvious. I mean, that generationally has just been a continuing experience where it almost seems like every crop of kids is growing up with the love of Pokemon. But these other things, you know, I'm seeing people acknowledge the Totoro she's bringing to school, or you're seeing Sanrio is like very well represented amongst the kids. And, you know, she brings her little like My Melody into school and is able to share that with her friends. So it is really interesting to see that this kind of passion of mine and kind of thing that I grew up with is also represented in this new generation too.
It's the best. I mean, having an older daughter now, she'll be 22, she'll be 23 this year, but being able to connect on things that she grew up with. And now, as I mentioned, you know, Avatar, like that was her cartoon when she was little. And now we're seeing the live action stuff. And it's just always great to pass it down. I mean, that was the main thing I wanted to start the podcast about. It wasn't just so much because I love pop culture. I mean, granted, yes, I do. But it was also something that was passed down to my dad. Like my first instances of anime, there was a cartoon that my dad really loved in the 70s called Gigantor, which was like this gigantic robot. And he was a huge fan of Speed Racer, which was like really kind of my first introduction to anime and things like that. So being able to connect and go through that. And as you get older and as your kids get older as well, it's just such a fun thing to experience.
Yeah. It is kind of interesting to consider that Pokemon did break through the kind of like my closet nerd feeling of traditional anime. And it's, you almost didn't acknowledge growing up that it was an anime. It felt like, well, Pokemon, and maybe it was because you were playing it on Game Boy simultaneous to the show coming out and getting the trading card and all these other things, that it was an experience across all of these mediums that you didn't associate the show with, you know, the anime category that was supposed to be more, you know, protected. I will say though, now, you know, going out into the world and seeing how people wear their anime on their sleeve, like it's very much a point of pride. Whether it's the car decals or the clothing or the collaborations, like it is, or just being able to speak about it or going to the conventions, which have really shifted from Marvel DC into anime as the primary hub of what you're seeing at these cons, let alone Anime Expo, but like speaking the true Comic Cons is really an anime convention at this point. It is really interesting to see that sort of transition to anime's become not only mainstream, but pop culture.
Yeah, I agree. Now, with that being said, with, you know, the convention lineups, I mean, they're thick and thorough with Matt Solar and everything that you're doing. Are you planning on doing any conventions as far as speaking on not just Matt Solar, but, you know, on top of that, anime and manga?
Gosh, I'd love to. I mean, we were at, as you know, because that's where we met at New York Comic Con with Moon Man, our comic book. And there's other properties that we're developing in a very similar way. And I think the opportunity to talk about those things, especially because, you know, it matters to us. Like Scott was a huge comic book fan. Like I've been loving this since I grew up. Like being connected to your community and talking about the things that you love most in the world and sharing in those experiences are just like, that's peak. That's the best. Yeah. So any opportunity to be present in those venues is something that we'd want to do.
Well, I tell you what, we have GalaxyCon coming to Raleigh, which is our big one. That's a North Carolina big one. So if you're interested in doing a little panel there, I will do everything I can to get you there. So I would be
so happy to.
Especially with Moon Man coming out this year, which by the way, you know, it's just been knocking out of the park. As I mentioned before, just talking to all my friends that work at comic book stores and own comic book stores, people are super duper duper excited about this. I mean, I know we talked about it a little bit on the last episode, but any, you know, kind of like tidbits as far as upcoming variant covers for the next couple of issues and you know, what's next?
No, we've got actually quite a few different covers in the works for these next issues. So issue number 2 just launched, and next we're going to have issue number 3 come out, each of which are working with different or repeat cover artists. So there's going to be some more to play with in Moon Man. And yeah, I think it's really interesting. I think Moon Man unlocked a lot for us in honoring the art that mattered to us growing up and being able to recreate or to like pay homage to that feeling and to create a new moment with it. And I think for me personally, if there was an appropriate way into manga and anime and the things that I really love, that's very authentic to the source and the why of how it's built in Japan, that would be an absolute dream. I mean, I'm really so appreciative of what this art has done for me and how it continues to move me. And I don't think it'll ever stop moving me. I think it's always the place that I'm going to go, the stories that I want to see told, the things that are going to make me laugh or feel emotional. And I can already tell with my kids, it's what I'm going to want to re-experience with them or even learn from their experiences of what moves them as they start to fall in love with the medium. So yeah, I yeah, it's just, it's like all out of true love, this whole conversation.
I feel great. I can already predict in a couple of years from now, we're going to be talking about the Moon Man movie, a lot of things in the works, because the comic book, I'm just so excited to go through this phase, and it's great. Now, but before we get into, you know, Matt Solar and everything else coming up, you know, I know we've been messaging each other. Yeah. Magazine trailer just came out. For the, you know, just for people that are interested, especially ones with kids that are interested into getting into manga or anime, what are just a couple either manga books or graphic novels or anime shows that you would recommend them to get into that are somewhat, let's just say, kid friendly?
Yeah, I would say if it was a grown-up asking me that question, I would say go run to Attack on Titan, because it's going to be the most profound experience you could ever have. So I don't think that's the recommendation for kids.
you don't want to see people getting chewed up by Titans.
Yeah, probably not. Probably not the way in. Some with kids, actually, funny enough, the thing that I tend to track the most with kids is that Naruto seems to be an entry point for a lot of them. And especially since Boruto is ongoing and is doing so well across the manga and the series, there is kind of like a sense of purpose to it. So going through the Naruto experience into Boruto makes sense. What's beautiful about Naruto is obviously with Shippuden, you're watching him grow. And then into Boruto, he's a parent. So there's like a lot of, you know, shared experience that I think parents and kids are having across that property. Like I said, my daughter, Pokemon is easy. That's for everyone. It's probably not even, you know, whoever you're talking about is an entry point. They're probably already into Pokemon.
Yeah.
But I will say watching Sailor Moon through Jordana's eyes has been really cool. So for the girls, I mean, she wants to be Sailor Moon for Halloween. Right. She's like, I'm gonna be Sailor Moon. I'm going to be Sailor Moon. Preston should be Tuxedo Mask. Like she's very, it's become a very immersed experience. And I think there's something really cool about Usagi at the center. And I didn't remember it as well since I was watching it when I was a kid, but she's so fallible. Like she's not good at school. She's waking up late. She's, you know, not the hero in every fight scene. There's not a sense that she's going to be the one that saves the day. Often, actually, probably even more often than not, she ends up being saved by her peers. So I love getting to watch that and seeing, you know, this version of an imperfect hero who really is this young, sweet girl who's funny and loves going to the arcades. And, you know, it's just, it's very relatable. And I do like, I don't know, that like the heroes without the clear understanding that they're going to be, you know, good versus evil means black versus white means the good guy wins and the bad guy loses. There's something a little bit more.
The reluctant nuanced hero kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, she embraces it, but she's not, doesn't mean that it's only her. Right. It's everyone. It's a collective, which is cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Love it. Love it. So, I mean, your year since I met you, been blowing up again. Moon Man issue 2 just came out. And then we just had the trailer drop literally last night for Magazine. We talked about it on the last episode. The cast, crazy. Crazy. I'm like, I saw this and I'm just sitting here. I'm like, I cannot wait to talk to Karina tomorrow, not just about anime and everything else, but it was just like, I mean, Giancarlo Esposito, Bobby Cannavale, Halsey. I mean, and then I'm pretty sure Kevin Bacon.
Yeah.
I was just like, holy crap. Like this seems to be like just such a crazy combination going from, you know, X originally, like we talked about, and then it was during the middle of the pandemic, then they wrote Pearl. Like, did you imagine Maxine would be on this kind of scale? Because, I mean, it's boom, out there.
It's all Ty. I mean, he's capable of anything. And I think what's wonderful about X and Pearl proving the model is that Ty made amazing movies. They were amazing. They're partnered with A24, so it has the kind of like cachet and importance that his films deserve. Mia's so extraordinary in the films. X sets up Maxine so beautifully because you understand her character and what her process is going to be. But Ty is a true genius, and his understanding of time period and how to use that to build something that's equal parts entertaining, thrilling and meaningful is extraordinary. So I give all credit to the artist. It's 100% him.
Well, I mean, that's still executive produced by you, though, correct? I mean, it's you in your studio. I mean, don't get me wrong, Ty is fantastic, but don't give yourself some kudos too here.
You know when you need a compliment.
Well, I will give you all the flowers because I'm so excited. It came out last night. I literally texted my daughter right after. I sent her the link. I was like, Maxine trailer's out. Looks amazing. I was like, look at the cast. And I mean, Bobby Cannavale, I've loved him ever since he played the role of Jip Rossetti on Boardwalk Empire. Then he had a small role in Chef. And Giancarlo Esposito, I mean, forget about it.
Breaking Bad is iconic. It's iconic.
Goodness gracious. And then, you know, of course, Kevin Bacon, I grew up on. And I mean, it's set in the 80s. Like, even though I was born in 1980 and I was a little kid through the 80s, I still love the 80s. So I'm like, anytime something's 80s, I'm like, sign me up.
It's giving me I feel like X did the same experiencing the 70s, but you start to reflect on the time period that you grew up in. And it's like, oh, would that have been more fun? Like that's the vibe it gives me too.
Yeah. Yeah. Super, super duper, duper exciting. I'm so happy for you. We cannot wait for this to come out. We'll have to definitely catch up when the movie comes out.
Sure.
So, I mean, what else is in store? I mean, with your passion and love, especially for anime and manga, is there, I mean, whatever you can reveal. I know there's obviously when contracts get signed, there's a lot of secrecy around it. But what can you reveal as far as what's next after Maxine or even before, during, or after?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot that we're working on. The adaptations of Moon Man is certainly something that we're discussing. But I will say some of the things that we're most excited about right now has been being inspired by these young artists and being able to live out their visions. So there's one animated film that we're doing with this artist, Jaron Braxton, that's being indie financed by Hammerstone and Capstone, which is incredibly exciting because it feels like, you know, almost following a Japanese or European model about how they lift animators as auteurs. This is a circumstance of doing it in the US and building out a sonically driven monster movie. It's very, very, very cool, stylistically new. Yeah. And there's another artist we're working with specifically to build out a Fortnite experience, but following his love of anime and what it meant to him to create an original anime on YouTube with the intent of being a reflective kind of point of those who have grown up loving anime and it being so influenced by it, what does their art look like and how does it take shape and can we support and build that thing out? So I think there's a lot of opportunities to allow, you know, the anime and manga conversation to feel like one that's out loud and one that opens up new stylistic points and entry points for young artists.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Before we wrap up, Karina, any shout outs, anything else? I know you got the trip to Japan. I wish you safe travels. Now, I take it this is just like a family trip, just to have some fun. It's so awesome.
Karina and I went with my sister to Japan for the first time in November. And ever since I got back, she's been asking to go. So, she was telling her school I'm going to take her. It just became, she willed it into existence. So I'm really excited to sort of share all my love live with Jordana.
Oh God, that's awesome. That's awesome. Well, hang out with us for just a little bit. Again, Karina Manischel, president of Mad Solar Productions. Be sure to check out Maxine coming out. We'll have her back on the show before then. We'll be back.
Yay.
All right, party goers, thank you so much for listening. Be sure to like, subscribe, follow Zero Dark Nerdy across all your favorite social media platforms and most importantly, your podcast platforms. Give us a like, give us a comment, follow the whole entire nine yards. Give us a rating. We will love you so much more for doing that. But most importantly, big shout outs to our incredible sponsors out there. BetOnline.ag, the Believe Podcast Network, Zipster with our incredibly amazing website. If you're looking for a website that's easy to navigate and easy to update, be sure to reach out to Jeremy and his team over at Zipster. And most importantly, our main sponsor, that is, of course, Sailfish Comics with three locations in North Carolina, one in Winston-Salem, one in Greensboro, and of course, one in Concord. As always, thank you so much for listening. We truly, truly, truly appreciate the support, and we cannot wait to see you next time. Peace.
free.
And anger management?
Fuck anger management.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.